Dear Jesus, thank you for the opportunity that I have been presented to share your glorious word. And I just want to echo the prayers that many have prayed for this time together with you, thanking you that you were here waiting for us when we came into the place sacred by your presence. And I pray, Lord, that the words that I speak will find a lodging place in the hearts of each person here and be blessed, so that when we leave the place, we can say it's been good to be in the house of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you do me a favor? Would you touch your skin? Go ahead. It's not going to hurt. Nobody's recording it. I may be, but you're not being recorded. Touch your skin. Touch your skin. So what do you feel? Yourself, right? If I dressed up with Mickey Mouse and came to your house, I would not be Mr. Mouse, would I? I would still be me. I would still be me, but yet that would be my outward skin. So the bottom line is that inside of you right now is you biologically. That would be physically, and spiritually as well. Because the Bible says that you are the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. You are the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. So touch your skin and say after me, I'm the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. I am the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. You are the tabernacle. So if that be true, then that means that living inside of you right now is the Holy Spirit. So the bottom line is to get this Holy Spirit out of you. So in your bulletins, in your handout, I think you have 2 Corinthians 13:5. Would you read out loud to me, please, our text? 2 Corinthians 13:5, together. Examine yourselves to see who you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? So, dear people, knowing that fact that he is in you should affect the way that we actually live. 1 John 3:25. Those who obey his commandments live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in me. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. So, sometimes in days gone by, the church has sung that song, the Lord is in his holy temple, you know, let all the earth keep silent before him. We could take off on that, but I won't. But the Lord is in his holy temple. If that be the case, dear people, the Lord is in your holy temple right now. And for some of you, that may be a new revelation. He's in you. He's in you. And the point being, he wants to get out of you. Which will lead me to point B of our sermon, which is about the holy, about the spirits, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Neil. Okay, but right now, if he's in us, he wants to get out of us. Okay, so let's illustrate this way. Let's suppose that you are the temple of God. Okay, you are the temple of God. Now, I just heard you say that he lives within you. Would you come forward and read what's in this, sir? Yeah, you. I like that. Okay, well, what does that say?
Ministry of the Holy Ghost.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, you get the gold star. The ministry of the Holy Ghost. So the ministry of the Holy Ghost is coming into your holy temple, right? And so the whole idea is that he comes out of your holy temple, right? Here's the problem with me. I speak for myself. I talk to myself sometimes. I look in the mirror. He talks back too. Anyway, so here's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You read it. It's in here. And so he comes into you, the temple, but look what happens. He's supposed to come out. Come on. Hello? He didn't come out. Try it again. The Holy Ghost is in you. He comes into your temple now, because this is, put your name there. I am the temple of God. He comes in. It's not coming out. So the first part of the sermon is this: how are we going to get him out of our holy, of our temple? Because there seems to be a hang up some way. So in your bulletin, you'll find a four suggestions, which we'll just go right through in a hurry. He's in your temple. Now, we take care of the outside of your temple, right? I'm looking at beautiful temples. Oh, you're all dressed up so nice. You're all fixed up so good to come to God's house. Well, as long as you wear a fig leaf, you just come in any different way to God's house. That's the important thing. But there's a difference between what I see and what it is. Like, you may look at me and say, he's an okay guy, but you can't see inside of me.
Hello.
You can't see inside of me. Take my car, for example. I always work ahead, and I take, beside the point, I keep records of everything, and I work ahead. But yesterday, I did not work ahead. I confess to you, Pastor. I did not work ahead. So after going to church, where I usually do on Saturday night, I was driving home with this friend that I picked up, and it dawned on me, boy, you got a dirty car. Yeah. Oh, you should have a nice car going to church. Well, you should have a nice car, period, especially if you could pick up your granddaughter. And so you want to have a nice car. So I got to get my car washed. So here this guy's in the car with me. I don't want to have him go through the car wash. I want to spiritualize how my car is being washed. So I took the guy home, and then I drove back 6 miles to have my car washed. Okay, here's the bottom line. If you saw my Dodge Charger outdoors, you would say it's a really beautiful blue car. I've named all my cars. This is called Bluebird. And so it's because it's blue. Anyway, it's a beautiful car. You would say, well, it's a beautiful car. It is a beautiful car because it got a bath yesterday. However, if you got in the car, you would still say it's a beautiful car because I clean it out. That's a good thing. Guys, clean your car out every night. Make sure it's clean under the seats as well. So you would sit in my car and you would say, Pastor Neil, this is a very nice car. It is nice and clean. But if you were sitting in the driver's seat, you would see that I did not vacuum out that section of the car, and it is very nasty, dirty, but you can't see it. So I look at you beautiful people and I see beautiful people, but I cannot see on the inside. And so that's why these four points that we want to just look at for a moment to try to see if we can clean up just a little bit what is on the inside. So the first is this. Remember that God has got His Holy Spirit in clay vessels. You touched your skin. As a matter of fact, what was skin originally made out of? Did somebody say dirt? Right? Very good, very good. You get the gold star. Yes, we were made out of dirt. I like the word clay, but nevertheless, it's dirt. So the Bible does, oh, that's very scriptural too. The Bible says that we have a treasure. Oh my gosh. Do you know you have a treasure in your body? We have a treasure in these clay jars. Look at the clay jars, Pastor, that were brought in today. Look at these clay jars. Wow. Different sizes, different shapes, different colors, but they're all beautiful, and within them we have a treasure. Now, we want the treasure out. So how do we get it out? Number one, look at the filthiness, which goes back to my car. So would you read in your handout, 2 Corinthians 7, 1, together. Therefore, together, since, hello, okay, then we'll start over. Therefore, we have. Okay, that's very good. I won't do that word, but okay, that's very good. So here's the point, dear people. The point is this, that whatever is offensive in the sight of God needs to be removed, the filthiness. And so whether you believe it or not, It says that we are all S-I-N-N-E-R-S, and we are sinners. And because of that, we've got filthiness in us. And that's what we're dealing with now. So I'm saying, dear Jesus, I'm trying to take care of my temple. And we want to take care of our temple. I try to go to the beach every day, walk a mile or 30 minutes or so to take care of my temple. But what about the inside of my clay temple that you cannot see, that I can't see within every one of you? I can't see. Cameras can't see. But guess what, dear people? Wireless interconnect to the great white throne. He also has GPS where you are to see what's inside of you. So the point is this: let us take out that which is inside of us so that we can purify ourselves, so that that ministry of the Holy Spirit can come through the gifts of the Spirit. Okay, you did good on that. Well, let's try if we can read the second one better. God sees our lack of spiritual poverty. So first he sees. Isn't it amazing that God can see? Well, that's crazy. He sees. So when I left my little cabin in Morro Bay, I asked Google to tell me how to get here. I've come before, but I couldn't remember. I also got lost once coming to your house at nighttime. And so it told me to go here, and it told me to go there. And so the point was that it could tell me where I was. And in 3.67 of a mile, I would be turning left. It told me all of this. So if this little guy can tell me all of that, what about that wonderful guy in the sky can tell you where you are? And, okay, the bottom line is he can see in your temple. And that's the bottom line. So he sees our filthiness. And then I just heard you read that he also does what else? Our spiritual poverty. Sort of like a play on words in a way. So the scripture says, I'm ahead of myself. What did I hear you just read? And you read that, right? Hello. That's good. Okay. Okay, now let's go to number two. He sees our lack of spiritual poverty. Matthew 5:3, I'm listening. Read. All right, what a beautiful good. Okay, spiritual bankruptcy before God is so very important. And of course, to be poor in spirit is to have a humble opinion about yourself. It is the opposite of pride. I've got pride, and I confess it when I realize I'm operating in that area. But the Lord says that if he's going to come through me and through you, then he's got to have an area where we would call the spiritual poverty. So to be poor in spirit is simply this. It's to have a humble opinion about yourself. Okay. Number three. God sees our holiness inside of your temple, or the lack of holiness. And you're doing good at reading, people. How about number three? He sees our holiness. Read it. Good thing I don't have your bulletin insert. That's what you said is good. Okay. Be ye holy. I am working so hard to be holy, not outwardly, but inwardly, so the Spirit of God can come through me. And I know you are too. But the scripture says that be holy, for I am holy. If I just could ask, are you holy? Are you holy? Well, sure, I'm holy, you would say. Yes, you are. because you've got the Holy Ghost within you, and you've got the Holy Spirit within you, of course. But still, there's an aspect of us that we need to be holy, and to be holy is to accept the fact that we are nothing more than a... Okay, I got the word worm on my notes. Remember the old song? Well, you're not that old. Remember, some of you, none of you are that old. I'll be 100 years old in 18 years. Okay, remember the old song, which I can't even remember now, but it says, "For such a worm as I..." Don't lift your hand. But do you know that in some congregations, they have eliminated the word W-O-R-M? Why? Because the response was, that's too nasty to refer to me as a worm. But you know, we are. We are a worm. And even in the holiness that we've got, we still are like a worm. At nighttime, I go on the floor. I haven't told many people that, but I'm telling you, and all those, I'm telling you that, yeah, I lay on the floor before the Lord, and I just say, I worship him. I don't pray at that point. I just worship him. And the thought came to me last night, because I was thinking about today, talking about the worm. Not just when you're fishing, but when he is fishing for me, I can still be that worm on his hook at Calvary. And so I say to him, as I did, how can I, on the floor, approach the holiness of God because I am who I am? And then instantly, as if I did not know, I hear this word, because of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus on the cross. And because of the blood of Jesus on the cross, we are in that sense holiness. But the point I'm trying to make is, for that wonderful ministry of the Holy Ghost to come through your temple, we've got to eliminate a lot of things. And one of the things is our lack of holiness. Our lack of holiness. And number four, God sees our commitment or the lack of. So you're doing good, people. Psalm 31, 53, I think you have on your handout. Together. Okay, it's a commitment. Some churches have an altar call where they ask people to come forward to, not for salvation, but for just a commitment or a dedication or a decision. For example, I'm trying to visit. May I chase one rabbit, sir? There are 26 churches in the area where I live, Cayucas, Morro Bay, and Los Osos. And so when I'm not preaching on Sunday, which is probably all the time, though every night I pray for a pulpit to stand behind. And so when I'm not there, I visit these churches. The rabbit that I just chased got shot. I forgot why I'm even telling you that now. Okay, anyway. Let's go back where we were. Oh, a commitment. Okay, so last Sunday, I was at a new church getting started in North Morro Bay. And so at the end of the service, the pastor gave an altar call for a commitment. And so a couple came forward, and they committed to unite with that church because they wanted to become a member of that church. So they had the commitment. So what I'm trying to say, people, and to myself, is God is asking us for a commitment. And if we make that commitment right for him, then it's going to come, he is going to come through our temple in various ministries. So the conclusion of this part A is simply this. Recognize that there is within us a civil war. And if we win by looking at these four things, which is on your bulletin, our filthiness, our spiritual poverty, our lack of holiness, our lack of commitment, then we're able to let the Holy Spirit come in and through us. Now, this gives us to this point here. I am the temple of God. This represents each one of you, right? Okay, the thing that we've talked about those 4 points in your bulletin is certainly comes down to one word, which is S-I-N. Would you say that?
Sin.
Say it again.
Sin.
And do you know that you're looking at a sinner? It may look good, but I am a sinner. If you could see in me, there, you would see a lot of stuff that needs to be removed. So sin normally is colored by, since we started off with the color, is colored by what's the color of sin? Whoa, you got a smart congregation here. Okay, so black, sin. Now, for example, if I had a Phillips screwdriver, for example, No. You carry a Phillips screwdriver with you all the time? You're kidding. Well, see, I needed a Phillips screwdriver because I don't have a Phillips. Would you bring your Phillips screwdriver, please? Wow. What's your name, sir?
Jack.
Jack, I'm Neil. Pleased to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Very good. Oh, well, tell me about your screwdriver. What color is that?
White.
What does white represent? Somebody said Jesus. And what's the end of your Phillips screwdriver?
Red.
Okay, well, show it to the people. Jesus is white, and he has the blood of Jesus. And it is a Phillips screwdriver. Wow, you're cool. Okay, so if we have this in us so that this could come through, it's not coming through because of the S-I-N. So, mister, would you, it's going to be difficult probably, would you take your time and do what you can do to just take that out? Wow. It takes effort to remove sin. He's doing a great job. And that sin is very deep. Oh, talk about mine. And so it's coming out. It's coming out. But now I want everybody to watch this as he continues for it to come out. Something's going to also come out. And so when the sin comes out of the temple of God, some of you know what's going to happen, don't you? But it takes time to work on our sin. So every night you have to say, Jesus, forgive me of the sin that I've committed this day. It's not a one-time event because you sin as you breathe, right? So it takes time like this small muscular man is doing. Uh-oh, you did it. You removed the sin. Thank you, sir. Very good. You get the gold star. Okay. But as he removed the sin, symbolic, I always use object lessons. Guess what's going to happen when I remove the hand? Now, this young man told me what it said. Say it again, would you? It represents what? The ministry of the Holy Spirit, which we're going to get to now. Okay, dear people. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. And now, there are 26 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some don't believe it, but some do. That they're 26, because they don't believe martyrdom is a spiritual gift. But I tell you, people, if you had the gun at your hand, at your head, are you a Christian? That happened in America just last week, didn't it? Okay, I think some people would cross their fingers, since I'm good at judging, put their hand behind them and say, I'm not a Christian, because I don't want to get boomed. But nevertheless, the point is, martyrdom could be. So in your handout, which you don't have yet, which you're going to be getting in just a moment, this handout, I need 2 volunteers right quickly, if you will. 2 volunteers to pass these out. Thank you, sir. What do you charge for this, sir?
What
do you charge to deliver this for me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's green, and you're green, you're matched. Go for it. Now, while it's being passed out, let me tell you a cool story about the 26 gifts. Last Wednesday, I think Pastor asked me to preach Monday. So on Wednesday, I told a group of men, that I'm going to do this. And so I gave them the handout that you're now getting, But you've got three listed in red. So what I did, I asked these men, and I gave them a pen, and I said, I want you to put an X by three of the spiritual gifts that you would like to hear something on, very briefly. And so they did their three, and I related them into one, one popped up again. So I called you, dear pastor, and I said, I'm speaking on the spiritual gifts. I'm just going to touch briefly on three of them. You tell me what three you would like. And so the three that your pastor chose are in red on your handout. And believe it or not, the first one that was chosen by the group that I spoke to was the spiritual gift of wisdom. So remember, God has placed extraordinarily special gifts in the body of believers, and every one of you, I'm looking at you, boom, 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 and in the balcony, boom, me. Every one of us have a spiritual gift. Say it, I have a spiritual gift.
I have a spiritual gift.
Say it like you mean it. I don't think all of you believe that. I didn't believe it for years, but you know you do, because the Bible says you've got, Billy Graham says you've got, no, that's angels, I'm sorry. Okay, that's another sermon on angels. I believe you have personal angel. He believes you got two. Anyway, everybody has a spiritual gift, and these gifts are activities of the Holy Ghost that come through the temple of God to the body of believers when the pastor allows such to be offered. So everybody is responsible. Now, if I said everybody, does that mean everybody? Then that means you. You are responsible to discover your spiritual gifts and exercise them under the leadership of your dear Pastor Rick. Okay, the first one we're just going to touch briefly is the spiritual gift of wisdom. I'm just going to read this so it'll go fast. In Christianity, the word of wisdom is a spiritual gift listed in 1 Corinthians 12:8. And the function that this gift varies. Some Christians see the gift as a prophetic-like function. Others see it like a word of wisdom in a teaching function. And so there are types of wisdom. There's the wisdom of God. There's the wisdom of the world. There is the wisdom of man. Now, the Bible speaks of the gift of wisdom, and that's what we speak of now. So basically, people, this is what the spiritual gift of wisdom is all about. It is speaking into the life of an individual or a specific circumstance with great understanding and a special perspective with the gift and with the idea of moving that person forward in a particular area. So the gift of wisdom is, and some of you have that gift of wisdom, can protect, it can reveal, and it can bless. It involves having a sense of divine direction, being led by the Holy Spirit to act appropriately in a given set of circumstances and rightly applying the knowledge. It's of God through your temple to people. And so if you have that, you want to let that gift come out of you. Now, while all Christians need this, some people are really, all Christians need wisdom, that's for sure. Talk to me, Neil. But while we need the wisdom, some people, and there are some of you, who are spiritually endowed with this special kind of wisdom, with details. And this way, you're able to help. Now, somebody said it this way. You can use it personally to assist family or friends in making good decisions. You can do it in ministry, small groups, or one-on-one. You can do it within the church, within the council of a member or an officer. So, here's the question. Pastor Neil, is the spiritual gift of wisdom my gift? So here are three questions. Number one, do I see solutions when others are in conflict or confusion? Do I seem to understand my Bible and how it applies to my life before somebody else even figures it out? Or three, do people come to me for advice on how to deal with things going on in their lives? So there are people who are spiritually endowed with this spiritual gift of wisdom, and it's listed in the Bible, the spiritual gift of wisdom. And I believe there are people in this church who have this spiritual gift of wisdom. And with the pastor's authorization, it can be operating. Spiritual gift of knowledge. It's related to wisdom, but it's different. This word of wisdom is different from knowledge, but it's the utterance of knowledge. And the Greek word for this gift is gnosis. It simply means knowledge and understanding. So a lot of you have, you all have knowledge. You know how to get here. You know what to do. You got knowledge. But then there's that extra level. It's a spiritual gift of knowledge. This is a special ability to minister words of comfort, consolation, encouragement, and counsel to other members of the body in such a way that they feel helped and healed. And that person, and I'm looking at some, who have the spiritual gift of knowledge, have insight and they've got understanding into the life situations that come up, and they have perception as to know what to do with them. So the idea is just to know. The benefits? When a person operates in the spiritual gift of knowledge, then they are giving to that person or to that group in a special way truth that will make them understand what is happening in the future. So in this way, God makes known knowledge, spiritual knowledge, to a person at a particular time. So the bottom line is this: it's a transfer from him to a person through a temple who possesses the spiritual gift of knowledge. It's just that transfer of knowledge. So somebody said this in answering the question, do I have this gift to function in this? Do you have a strong desire to release the gift? Some people believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but they're going to let it stop right here and not let it come all the way through. But do you really desire? You know, it says desire to have spiritual gifts. Be sensitive to God. And then to know when God is speaking to you in a particular situation and have the right timing. Oh, that's important. To know what to do, when to do, and how to do it. And then to minister that word in a very, very effective way. And then, if you have this gift and to operate in this, then be open to fine-tuning through somebody over you, spiritually speaking. So to review, the special ability to minister words of consolation, encouragement, and counsel to other members of the body who need to be helped and healed. Those of you who have the spiritual gift of knowledge. And for a true New Testament church to operate, the opportunity has to be given to those people to exercise the spiritual gifts. And you know, Pastor, there are people here who have the spiritual gifts and they're just laying dormant. Arise in the name of Jesus and proclaim. So the third gift is this. It's got to be here somewhere. Oh, yes, leadership. I'm looking at some people, and your pastor's already looked at you, who have this spiritual gift of leadership, and you've not even exercised it at all. So, in Romans 12, spiritual gifts, one is the gift of leadership. And the Greek word simply means to rule or to govern, and that I don't mean rule or govern in this kind of a way, but spiritually to rule or to lead. And it just means that for a church to progress in the task that God has given the church, they've got to be in the church. People have the spiritual gift of leadership. Now, having leadership is one thing, but spiritual leadership is just another thing. Special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to set goals in accordance with God's purpose for the future, communicating the gospel to people. Visionary men and women who take the seriously God's word. It falls into categories like being one who encourages leadership, pastoral leadership, team leadership, and an organization. So bottom line is this. A person, and I'm looking at some, and you know who they are, who have the spiritual gift of leadership fall into this category. So I just ask you the question. Do you enjoy inspiring and leading others for the sake of the work of Christ? Are you usually quick to sense when a group you are in is getting nowhere and you want to do something about it? When you join a group, do others expect you to take leadership? And have you accepted that leadership responsibility? And do you find it easy to motivate people to do certain things? And do you think futuristically, if I could use that word, about leadership? So Jesus has placed these gifts in the church, and you, dear people, have many of them. And like I say, there are at least 24 of spiritual gifts. We've looked it through. So the bottom line is this. Let the Spirit of God come through you all the way, as demonstrated here. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, we have removed that sin that's in your life by the blood of Jesus, and let that Holy Spirit just come in and flow through you. And God will bless you. He'll bless the people. But before I say period and amen, the most important thing is don't go away without Jesus. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, he's just knocking at the heart's door. 2 weeks ago, I spoke at a church Bayside, Morro Bay, and I always conclude my messages with that. Don't go away without Jesus, because Jesus is here and he's doing this. And before I could even knock on that little pulpit, there was a knock on the door. Wow, providentially, somebody came and they, just as I was getting ready to say, which I did say, this, he's knocking at your door, and then bang, 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 somebody knocked at the door. And I'm trusting that God used that illustration to move somebody into the kingdom.